Well, you'll maybe be wondering why we're actually in this part of the church tonight and not that part of the church. And the reason being is that the thermostat is working. It's just that the thermostat was set too low for coming on over this last week, and that confused me no end. But Alexander set me straight on this, but it's slightly too cold being here. Now, you see, I'm getting all. You see, I feel the call, Alice. I ken you said to me last week it was getting chilly kind being here. And I hadn't the sense to turn the thermostat up, which would have gotten the boiler going. Now, Albert says to me that YouTube's a great thing for practical fixing and not, but I'm sure it is something to do with thermostats, but I just never thought of turning the thermostat up. But it takes a marine engineer to resolve that issue. So thanks, Alexander. It's good news. The heating is working being here, but it didn't work until Alexander came in and turned the thermostat up. The good news is it's warmer here than it is being here just now. So it's all good. Anyway, it's great to hear Steve here with us. Steve's been here quite a few times, and we welcome you, Steve, in the name of the Lord, and we thank you for coming. Let me just read a scripture to you before we sing a hymn. And Bill Mowat was on Corinthians this morning. Here's a wee verse for Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Isn't that good news? The all-surpassing power belongs to God. That's seriously good news. Now, I'm getting here to do it between the laptop. Well, even better, Sarah's come in, so I'm not getting here to do it between a laptop. So, well, that was good timing, Sarah. Let's stand and sing our first hymn, Lord, the Light of Your Love is Shining.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your light. We thank you that Jesus is the light of the world, and we know that the glory is yours. We realize, Lord, that we have this precious treasure inside of us, and it's you, and that the all-surpassing power belongs to you. So we give you thanks that we're gathered in Jesus' name this evening. We thank you for Steve's willingness to come along. We pray your blessing upon him and his family and his ministry. And Lord, right up and down this coast, Lord, we pray for your hand to be upon us. Lord, we realize that we so desperately need you. Our community needs you. People need you. Men and women, children, young and old alike. Everyone needs the Lord. And so we want to praise you for your word. We thank you for your presence with us. We pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, during this time together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's keep our seats this time, and we'll sing King of Kings, Majesty. Now, there is a prayer meeting, God willing, on Saturday at 7 o'clock, to which you're all welcome in the upstairs room. Next Sunday morning and evening, John Buchanan for Hopeman will be with us. And as I said this morning, Kissick and Bucky in the Bucky North Church, Saturday the 3rd of August to Friday the 9th of August, Heaven, the Life to Come is the theme. Some very interesting speakers and very interesting themes if you read through it. There is some leaflets in the table in the vestibule. I'll try and get some more photocopied actually the night if you're wanting to take something away with you. The website is on there and also in a letter on the notice board as well for Bill Mowat. And he was on that theme this morning, very interesting. And it'll be well worth going to, I am sure. Now, before Steve comes up, and Steve's got a PowerPoint, and he may do his presentation first or do his Bible reading for Adinakin. I'll leave it up open to you, Steve, about how you want to do that. But let's stand and sing the song, You Are My Strength When I Am Weak, and then I'll hand over to Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for your welcome and your invite back. Well, welcome back via Andrew Young, but he's not here tonight. He told me he would never be here, but it's nice to be back with you and to hear at least one well-known name mentioned. I've spoken at Hopeman Baptist a few times in the past as well, so I know John Buchanan, a fine man. Tonight I'm going to be speaking, as I always do when I come, on behalf of the Mission Arab World Ministries. But I was just reflecting on, some of the passages that lead into a talk on mission. I suppose there's the obvious ones, the Great Commission. The Lord says, go out to make disciples of all. Go out and baptize believers and, make disciples. But, Revelation is a fantastic book if you can understand it. And I know it's quite difficult at times. But just reflecting on some of the passages in Revelation, you've got some tremendous... I don't know what you think, but having studied Revelation, I'm convinced that Revelation's aim is to really encourage believers, primarily in the first century, because they were struggling with persecution, but also to encourage us to persevere, to keep going. And I was just speaking to one of the brothers earlier that, we didn't get persecution in this country yet, but if it comes, I'm sure books such as the Book of Acts, and maybe Revelation in particular, will be a great blessing to us. And, as you read through Revelation, obviously you've got initially the books, the first books written as, letters to the churches, and they're very practical and down to earth and quite salient, really, is the challenges of churches that are lukewarm to get a grip and those that are cold to really start stirring themselves up, as well as an encouragement to those churches which are doing well for the Lord. But as you move through Revelation, obviously you become... you become captivated by the picture of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus slain, obviously. And I'm just going to read a passage from, I've got a parallel Bible here, so half it's King James and half it's NIV. So maybe I should ask for a vote, a hands up to see which verse you want me to read, but I'll go for NIV, if that's okay. So in Revelation chapter 5, in this congregation, I probably don't need to tell you Revelation chapter 5, but it's about the Lamb being worthy to open the scroll. And John is obviously speaking, the Apostle John, the writer of Revelation, is speaking. And then he was a bit upset, John, because he didn't think anybody was worthy to open the scroll. But then when you come to chapter 5, you see that the Lamb was. And then, I'll just read verse 9. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and they said he was worthy. And they sang, verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song to him. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And moving on to verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and tens of 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and elders. In a loud voice they said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. A tremendous vision there of people from every race, every nation, every tribe worshipping the Lamb. Tonight we're going to be speaking about just a small part of the world, the Arab world. I'll come to where that is in a few moments. But it's true to say that, there are parts of the world where the Lord is being worshipped more than ever before. In fact, it'd be true to say that throughout the whole Muslim world, which encompasses quite a lot of the globe, there are more Muslims coming to faith now than any time since the inception of the Islamic or Muslim religion. That was 1,500 years ago. Although tonight we're just speaking about a wee part of that, you'll see stories or hear stories from me and see, some scripts of what God is doing in people's lives. So let's be encouraged. There's maybe many folk in the Brock coming to faith. I was telling one or two others, I'm working at the moment, the last 3 years actually, I've been local minister in the Church of Scotland in Pertsoy, And one thing that's happening in Portsoy is, as of today, we began worshipping in a new church centre, a new development. If you can Portsoy Ava, if you go to the river for an ice cream or to the station hotel, opposite the station hotel, there's an old church hall, which has not been used as a place of worship regularly for 64 years until this morning. They redeveloped it. So that's a practical like work in a faith. But even more exciting is the fact that, you know, a couple of folk recently came to the Lord. And I was saying to one or two folk earlier, the man is so changed that a young lad that he's in touch with, they're both like Al Cars. This lad has said to my mate, he says, "You used to be a nutcase," that's a quote in inverted commas, "but you're near nutcase anymore. If it's happened to you, you know?" And I was just saying that this young chap I'm speaking about, who's been, I suppose, impressed by my mate and being challenged by the Lord, is coming to the college in Ebrock. He stays near Cornhill, and he's coming here. So if anybody knows, I've put out feelers, if anybody knows if there's a Christian group in Ebrock, I'm really praying for this guy. You can remember him as well. His name is Brandon. He's maybe had a difficult background, but the Lord is certainly working in his life, and he's only 15. And he must be nearly 16. He's coming to the Brock College after this summer. So God's working, whether it's in Cornhill, I'm sure Fraserburgh, Portsoy, as well as in the lands that we mentioned tonight. And I believe, you know, all my heart and all my faith, that there'll be many folk in glory one day enacting Revelation chapter 5, worshipping the Lamb and giving him all the glory and honour and praise. So with that in mind, let's be encouraged. I'll just begin with a word of prayer and then we'll carry on with my presentation. Thank you. Father God, thank you when we hear stories of people coming to faith, Lord. I'm sure it's happening. I'm sure it's happening here in Ebrock as well. And there might just be small numbers in many places in Britain, especially in northeast Scotland. But we praise you for those who are still seeing the need for Christ. They're still seeing the need for truth. They're still seeing the need for hope. And Lord, thank you for the inspiring examples we're going to hear about in the next half hour, how people in the Arab world are very definitely seeing the need for hope and truth and the need for salvation. Be with me now. Give me wisdom, Lord, as I speak. Thank you for again for the invite to be here. Thank you for the heritage of, we mentioned Hopeman Baptist earlier, the heritage, of course, of Fraserburgh Baptist. Are the Baptist churches around the Northeast? Thank you for their willingness over the centuries to stand on Scripture, to stand on the need for salvation, and to be faithful and true to the one that we've just heard about in Revelation, the one who is the Lamb, who is worthy to be praised. In his name, amen. With Sarah's help, thank you, we're going to have a look at the work of Arab World Ministries. I was going to the toilet earlier, and I noticed you get their magazine. The new magazine has just come out. I can offer copies tonight, and I think Andrew presents you with the magazine. So you'll be familiar to some extent with the work. But I just kind of want to update things and just share with you what the Lord's doing in people's lives. So although I was here last year, I think I was here the year before that, I'm trying to update you on things. So it's not just the same stories. God is working ongoingly in the Arab world. So just to recap who we are. Our name is Arab World Ministries. We're part of a worldwide mission called Pioneers. Now, I'm sure every missionary speaker that comes to Fraserburgh Baptist has got a motto or a strapline. And ours is building Christ's church amongst Arab peoples. Okay, Sarah? And that begs the question, far's Arab world? Well, those countries, North Africa, you've got your bearings, you know where Africa is. Spain's in the top left-hand corner, Spain and Portugal, North Africa, and the Saudi Peninsula. And it probably would be, and I've seen a map in the news this week, Iran's been very much on the news, it's probably been that bit of water, it's sticking the V-shape going up the way. I think that's where maybe the tanker's been embargoed by the Iranians. But it's certainly an area of the world where the Lord has been working. There's been a lot of troubles there over the last few years. Sadly, some of the countries like Iraq and Syria have become disaster zones, and more recently, Yemen. But, okay, Sarah, but that tells you really something of the age profile. It's a very young population. I'm sure the average age of folk in Ebrock or anywhere in the UK or anywhere in Western Europe is not 25 plus. The religious makeup is very different, very Muslim. And the population is not that large. You know, all those countries shaded put together have got, what, six times the population of the UK. So the country, the makeup of the countries are very different. Okay, Sarah. And that is often the picture we get of that part of the world. Conflicts, refugees, hopelessness. The picture there looks as though the man's just pleading for help. In some ways, that's true. On one level, humanly speaking, those words sum up that region, many of the countries anyway. Conflicts, as I said, refugees, hopelessness. But tonight we'll see that amidst the conflicts, people are coming to faith. Amidst the refugee crisis, people are coming to faith. And people who are feeling hopeless are now feeling hopeful. Not because of change in circumstances always. Sometimes our circumstances are dire. They might even become worse since they come to Christ. But they're finding hope in Christ. Okay, sir. One example of that would be, I'll read it to you just in case you can't see the screen. One example of somebody who's found hope amidst dire circumstances is this chap called Mubarak from Chad. It says on the screen, I'll read it to you. I'm a believer in Jesus, the Son of God. 2 years ago, I didn't know this truth, but praise God, now I have joy because I know this truth. Will you pray to God to open the hearts of my mother and father to the truth? And also pray for my older brother who's angry with me. Now, you know, maybe many of us have got mothers and fathers or brothers or, you know, sons and daughters who would like to see come into the Lord. And that's a very valid prayer, and it's a prayer that he's praying. But there's a subtext to this. Not only is his older brother angry with him, his older brother's trying to kill him. Mubarak's come to faith, and it's been upsetting to his family because they feel he's rejected his upbringing. It's like, I suppose it might be a wee bit like somebody in a broch from one of your background, Baptist background, becoming a kind of Jehovah's Witness or something. These people feel much more irate than even you would feel disappointed if somebody turned to another faith. These people are angry, especially the brother. And Mubarak's life is under threat. He's actually, last we heard, moving from we've got teams in Chad, and he's moving from like one team to another to try and help us in our spiritual outreach, and we are protecting and supporting him. Now, the obvious question might be, Mubarak, why do you not leave the country? But Mubarak feels incredibly courageously, incredibly spirit-led. He feels the Lord's calling him to stay in Chad. So there's a man, it's not only, you know, finding joy in the Lord, which is great that he is, but his life is a lot harder than it was before, circumstances-wise, a lot harder than it was before he came to know Christ. But I summed up the book of Revelation earlier. I think to me, the book of Acts is summed up by the Holy Spirit giving the believers courage. And the Holy Spirit has certainly given Mubarak courage. Not many folk would want to stay amidst the context of persecution that he's experiencing. Okay, Sarah. Just click on again, please. One difference between our mission and probably the majority of the missions that come and speak here is the fact that all our workers are tent makers. Again, in this company, I didn't have to explain what a tent maker is. But in the countries that I've listed on the map, apart from Jordan, Lebanon, maybe Egypt, none of them would allow people to go in with the label pastor or Christian teacher or Christian worker on their passport. You wouldn't be allowed beyond the airport. They didn't want people like Christians in there, except if that Christian has got qualifications and professional trades. They're quite happy for anybody to go in and become, as it lists there, engineers or language teachers or medics or business professionals, etc., etc. So all our workers are legitimately, quite lawfully, in those Arab countries, doing jobs that are required in those countries, while at the same time seeking wisely to be salt and light for the Lord. I think in probably, apart from maybe three countries I mentioned, if you went out into street corners and started shouting out, Jesus is Lord, you might probably get deported fairly quickly, despite the fact you're doing a valuable job. But you can be in there and you can be a witness in word and in deed to your workmates, to your neighbours, and seek to encourage any Christians you come across. So all our workers are doing that. You might notice that one significantly different job is trauma counsellors. As I said, I mentioned Syria and Iraq and Yemen earlier. And I mean, there are people in those countries, young and old, who have seen and experienced things that nobody should in a perfect world. So we've got trauma counsellors in there seeking to support people, maybe particularly refugees who are going through or have gone through horrendous times. And we're seeking to bring them through biblical counselling, biblical trauma counselling, to an acknowledgement that, you know, the Lord God loves them and is seeking to heal their wounds. But the jobs there are all, well, the first title is the top says, could God use me? I'm sure some of you have maybe done those jobs in the past or maybe are still doing them. But those are the type of jobs that our workers are going into. Loughborough, Leicestershire, in the Midlands of England, that's the training base and the sending base for our UK workers. We've got maybe, there's probably several from Scotland. And then we've got 89 workers out there in various countries of the Arab world. Okay, Sarah. Again, every mission has got its vision, its raison d'etre. And ours is fourfold, our vision. To share the gospel, nothing very unusual about that. Pioneering, reaching out to the lost in new ways. Using media, we'll come to that shortly, in discipling new believers. As I said, there's nothing very different to what any mission does in doing each of those four, and they're all part of the vision, which is to plant churches. In some of those countries, I mentioned Lebanon, Jordan, and Egypt, and to a smaller extent in the rest of the countries, there are churches. And, you know, just as somebody in the past planted Fraser Baptist Church, These countries seek, because of the enthusiasm of the believers, to plant new churches. And we seek to aid that because we've maybe got a bit more insight. We've got maybe training that some of these local people don't have. They might have their enthusiasm, but they don't always have the training. And so we seek to be involved in planting churches so that, in effect, we can almost do ourselves out to our job. Our workers will not be needed in a certain area if there's a self-sustaining, replicating church in that area, and a worker could maybe move on to a job somewhere else. Okay. Again, the stereotype, and I think it was the third slide, was that the Arab world's full of, you know, trouble and horrendous things. But Arab people, on the whole, are, well, I was going to say, as friendly as us. They're probably friendlier than an average Scots person. And that proverb sums up the hospitality you would find in all of those Arab countries. If you've got room in your heart, you have room in your home. Probably if you became a missionary in any of the countries, you would have to struggle to keep your weight down, because I'm sure the hospitality would be very generous in just about every one of those countries, that people there find hospitality almost like a duty is a wrong word, but it's very much part of their makeup to seek to give hospitality to strangers. And so the one advantage of that is, might be bad for the waistline, but one advantage is that, you know, it's a ready way of getting to know folk, because folk will readily invite you into their homes. And also they'll be open to being invited into your home. And it would be true to say that, in those countries, bar none, I would say, the people are more open to discuss their faith and maybe even listen to your faith than they are in Scotland or in the UK. People are more open about, talking naturally about their faith, just in the same way we might naturally talk about our family or our work situation. As Christians, I'm sure we talk about the Lord as well. But your average person in Scotland is not very open about talking about, quote, religion. Whereas in Arab world, that's not the case. Okay. The situation in Yemen rumbles on. Yemen is unusual because of all those countries on the east of the map, not the North African countries, but the Gulf states, they're all mostly oil rich. And Yemen is the only one in that region that's significantly poor. And that has only been exacerbated in the last 2 or 3 years because there's been a civil war. I mentioned to one of your folk earlier about the situation in Iran. Iran, I'm not speaking about Iran tonight in a sense, it's not an Arab country, but how many people are coming to faith in Iran? It's a Persian country, not Arab. But as you know, Iran's been involved in a few dodgy things in the region. And one of the conflicts that's going on is Yemen, and the Saudis, who are like the big beasts of that region, the most powerful players, are supporting the government, but Iran is supporting rebels, and there's a civil war, a conflict going on. And sadly, you know, there's been, I think the refugee crisis there is like several million folk have been displaced. Most of them are still in Yemen, but have had to move from their own accommodation, their own locations, because of the conflict there. There's been blockades, as you've probably heard in the news, of ports and so on. So the people who were poor before are getting even poorer. So that just sums up some of the things that we are doing to provide physical and spiritual help. There's been the worst cholera epidemic in the world going on in Yemen the last year or two. So there's two sides to any epidemic. Treatment for those receiving already ill, and prevention to stop more people getting the illness. So we're involved in that medical side of things. Teaching, training, and educating refugees. In a refugee situation, the most obvious and natural thing to support a refugee is to provide food. No country wants to see folk dying, either their own people or foreigners have come here for hospitality. But the second most important thing, and it's a thing that can be easily neglected, is education, especially for the young. And so we're involved in teacher training, training local teachers to educate people, even if they're in refugee situations, and obviously, you know, hoping to give these children something of an educational future. They might be homeless or in refugee status, but if their education can be kind of kept up, at least that's something we're blessing them with. We're relocating believers who are under threat. There are thousands of folk coming to the Lord in Yemen at the moment over the last 2 or 3 years. The Lord's really working in that land. So again, the next time we see Yemen mentioned in news, and it's probably going to be sad news in the BBC or ITV, remember, God is doing a good thing in Yemen amidst the tragedy. And so we're relocating believers whose lives are under threat because they've come to know the Lord. And maybe, like Mubarak and Chad, their family are not happy, the local community are maybe not happy, and they need the Lord. They need our protection now they're following the Lord. And obviously, ongoingly, with folk becoming Christians, they need ongoing discipleship. Okay, Sarah. I'll share now some, as I said, I promised to be updating in the message tonight. Much of what I said, apart from possibly some of Yemen stuff, has been stuff you've maybe come across before if you're aware of our work. But I'm going to share some of the stories of what God's doing right up to date amongst people in that region. The screen there speaks about a man, someone in the Middle East, and he says, "I've suffered much because of my faith in Christ. My family and friends have deserted me, but your messages have encouraged me. They've comforted me. When I receive your messages, I feel I am not alone because of you." The media work, if you can read the bottom of the screen, the media work, it's actually based in Worthing in Sussex in England, probably logistically or geographically the nearest point to the Arab world in the UK. And we've got a media centre there, and they get many responses from people in the Arab world by satellite phone, by email, by, you know, sometimes just phone calls, people responding to the website that they have, which is in Arabic, but the people are responding in scores every day. They're getting messages, people asking things, some people calling out for the Lord's help, other people sadly falling up to give them abuse because they're not happy with what they're doing, but generally they're seeing much response to the Lord compared to, say, 5 or 6 years ago. But every year they have a theme for their work. It's almost like a motto for the year, just like many churches might have a text for the year. And their theme for 2019, if you can read the screen, says, "You're not alone." Just to try and encourage people like Jamal here to know that they're not alone. And I say that twofold. One is God's there, so they're not alone in that respect. But secondly, they're not alone in as much as our team are there at the end of a phone or end of a email contact. They can be contacted by ourselves and supported. So Jamal is somebody that's been very appreciative of our work. But I'm just going to try and not just share some stories in the media work now, but try and apply them to our own situation here in the northeast of Scotland. I'll share 4 stories. The first is about a lady called Haya. She began life as a Muslim, but in time she became attracted to Christianity because she saw it was a faith or a religion of peace. She was discouraged and put off by the violence that she saw associated with Islamic faith. She had many questions when she first contacted us. Amongst others, she wanted to know how people would be judged. Muslims believe in judgment, not just us. They believe in judgment. And she said, would a judgment be based upon their beliefs or upon their deeds? in our responder and wording, answered our questions, and then went on to explain salvation and what it meant to have a relationship with God. And Haya, thankfully and praise God, gave her life to Christ. What interests me about her is she studied the faith. Okay, she had a fear of God, you could say as well, but she studied the faith. And she wanted to know, you know, what was the faith about? She was studious, she was keen. And for us, I'm sure we've all, you know, come to faith in the Lord, I'm sure that. But are we able to explain our faith? Have we studied enough to know how to respond to somebody that, you know, is walking past Fraser Baptist Church back at 7 tonight, and we come out and they say, Ken, you're a Christian, obviously. What do you believe? Would we be able to answer that question? Another story involves a man called Mafi, and he lives in Morocco in North Africa. And he got in touch with us fairly recently, and he's in his mid-20s, and he lives at home with his family. And he wanted to know how he could share his faith with those round about him. He'd come to faith in Christ, despite the fact. He wanted to know how to share his faith, despite the fact that he was getting opposition. And he was a bit afraid of what might happen. He still wanted to reach out and give his family the opportunity to believe in the Lord, just as he had come to believe. And later on, he wrote the following. I'm convinced that the Lord Jesus is my God and that he was crucified for me. I first believed last year, 2018, and I announced my faith to my friends and to people around about me, but everybody insulted me, and twice I was beaten up. My father threw me out of the house for 2 months, but despite all this, I still believe and I testify that Christ is Lord. And he went on to, you know, say how he finds the website very encouraging and it's his source of spiritual strength. And he is such a challenge. There's a man that's been victimized and abused in ways that I'm sure has never happened to us, and pray to God it never will. But he's standing firm despite the opposition. Again, something of that Holy Spirit courage is very evident in his life. A third story involves a man called Ayan. He was in France at one point, and he was a Muslim religious leader, an imam, they called him. And then eventually he began to look at the Quran, the holy book of Islamic religion, and he began to see some contradictions, and he began to doubt the Christian, the Islamic faith. But also at the same time, God was working. He came across, this is in France, he came across some Christians, and he was impressed by the way that they were living. And the end result is he's come to faith. He's moved abroad, he's moved out of France, he's moved back home to the Middle East countries from, and he's come to faith in the Lord. And again, it's a challenge for us, you know. Are people impressed by the life that I'm living? Are people impressed by the life that you're living? To think, you've got something I haven't got. What have you got? I spoke about the chap from Cornhill who's been impressed by my mate. And that's quite encouraging, you know, as a young man being impressed by the change in my friend's life. Are people impressed by the changes in our lives? A final story, which, again, we can hopefully apply to our own lives, is in, it's quite an unusual story for our world, because although I did say that there are churches, there are probably not that many people from a historical Christian background. Probably Egypt might be the only country where historically with a church. And this lady called Meha, young woman, had dreams about Jesus. One of the ways that the Lord is working in our world is people are coming to faith through having dreams about Jesus. I suppose there are two issues to that. One is often these people have no Christian contacts, they've no access to the Bible, and so the only way the Lord can get through to them is by revelation through a dream. And the second thing is, in our culture, if you dream, you think, I had ate too much cheese before I went to my bed last night or something. Whereas in that culture, dreams are taken very seriously. And if we look in the New Testament, dreams are taken seriously in those times. People like Paul and so on had dreams. So this lady called Meha had several dreams about Jesus. She must have found our website. She contacted our team, and she wanted to understand who Jesus was. And she was encouraged to read the Bible. And eventually, I've read the Bible and got some support. In February this year, 5 months ago, she gave her life to Christ. But there's another twist to the story. She had a friend called Kira, and she came from a Christian background. So one day, Meha, the Islamic lady who'd come to faith in Christ, met her friend, and her friend was very sad. And Meha said, look, how can you be sad? You're a Christian. If you've got the Lord in your life, you can't be sad. What's wrong with you? And Kira admitted that although she was from a Christian background, she didn't really understand the faith. She didn't understand what the Trinity was about. And she couldn't explain the Easter story. So although she was from a Christian background, the second lady called Kira, it was just a Christian background. She was a nominal believer, like there are many folk in the northeast of Scotland. Maybe not in Baptist church, I'm sure not, but in other churches, and certainly in a wider society, there would be people who would maybe call themselves Christian, but they've no knowledge of the Saviour. The story carries on that this lady Kira from a Christian background began to separate herself from a friend because she felt a bit guilty because her friend had a live, red-hot faith, as it were, and this lady realised that she didn't really understand the gospel. But eventually they met up again, and eventually Kira, having had a nominal faith, has now got a true faith in the Lord Jesus. And let's be encouraged by that, because I'm sure all of us, again, maybe not in the Baptist church, but I'm sure all of us, maybe from contacts and neighbours and so on, have got people who maybe are churchy or have got been brought up in a Christian background, but they're not saved. But maybe some of them, like Kira here, might be open when they understand one day what the gospel really is about. Those are some of the stories of people, right up-to-date stories, of some people who are very much responding to the Lord. So hopefully we can be encouraged that around the world, certainly not just in the Arab world, but certainly in the Arab world, I'm focusing on that tonight, there are people coming to the Lord. And this is, our media centre in the past might have, I think they said, if they heard about somebody coming to the Lord, it might be once a week. Now they're getting several people practically every day coming to the Lord. God is working in that part of the world. Okay, Sarah. How can you support our kingdom ministry? I know you already get the magazines. I saw them through in the corridor. You can pray for the work. You can pray by looking at the magazine and getting some prayer items. Or if you want to be more challenged to pray daily with a little prayer reading, I can certainly get you a quarterly prayer guide, which will give you just maybe two or three lines of an item to pray for each day. Okay, Sarah? You can give to the work, like any mission we rely on support. As I said, our workers are slightly unusual because they're actually tent makers, so they've got an income coming in. But we also have local, let's say, indigenous workers who haven't got the same financial means, and they can also be more often be needing financial support. Okay, Sarah? I don't know if you've ever felt called to mission work. As you can see there, it's probably too late for this year. Mission work can involve even working amongst Muslims in Northern Ireland. You know, even if you have to leave the UK to be involved in mission work. I was just thinking, Norman mentioned Keswick and Buckie, and this year there's a man from Northern Ireland coming to Keswick and Buckie. So just think, somebody from Fraserburgh Baptist might eventually do the reverse trip and go there and do some mission work in Northern Ireland or further afield. We had, 4 or 5 years ago, we had a response from a man in Birmingham called Ernest, and there was a team going to London to work amongst Muslim holidaymakers in some of the parks in London, Hyde Park and so on. And Ernest volunteered to do a couple of weeks, and he says, I've never done something like this before, but I want to serve the Lord. And Ernest was 73, so it's never too late to start. Okay, Sarah. I've run out of copies of the book on the left, but the book on the right is about how to understand the Islamic faith, how to understand Muslims. There must be a Muslim contingent in a place the size of Fraserburgh. If you want to buy this book, it's £5. It's a very down-to-earth guide as to what Muslims believe. But at the end of the day, if people are going to get to know us, our faith is so important to us, they're going to have to get to know something about our faith to understand what makes us tick. And equally, if we're going to get to know Muslim contacts or neighbours, we're going to need to know something about their beliefs in order to see what makes them tick, what keeps them going in life. So this book's available if you wanted to buy it. I'm not quite finished yet, but has anybody got any questions? I'll be around later, but any questions? Abdi's quiet, not to worry. Sarah, I was going to put up some prayer points. Is it okay to have a time of prayer, Norman? Is that right? I think I'm just about finished. Thank you again for your attention. I'll be around a wee while later. I'll hand out copies of the magazine if you'd like it. And you can see on the screen there a few prayer points. As ever, pray for our workers. It's hard enough sometimes to be, you know, a Christian in a country like Britain where we are the majority faith, really. There's not many people actively Christians, but we're the majority faith background. It's easy. I was sent to folk in Portsoy this morning, our first Sunday in the church centre. Nobody's going to walk into the church centre in Portsoy and demand that we stop worshipping. But in many of those countries, our workers are under that kind of social pressure. It's a minority faith. They're very much in a minority. There's a spiritual oppression. You know, I mean, if you've ever been to a Muslim country on holiday, you might have been woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning by the call to prayer. And imagine living in that kind of culture every day. Not just a cultural thing, not just a language difference, but a spiritual battle as well. We can pray for our workers. The media ministry, as I hopefully have been able to share tonight, is making an impact. And as ever, you know, speaking to earlier to one of your folk, and they were speaking, how can we relate the gospel to younger people? The media work needs to be able to relate the gospel to people, not just in Britain, but more importantly, in a completely different culture, the Arab world. Pray, item 3, kingdom growth, for Christ's church to flourish throughout the region. May disciples make disciples and churches plant more churches. And also, Paul, in one or two of his letters, asks us to pray for the peace in the region. That would have been the Roman world. We're also enjoined in Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We can pray also for the conflicts in the Arab world because, you know, conflict situations can lead people to seek the Lord, as happening in Yemen, but also it's almost like humane to pray for peace and sustain peace and resolution to many of the conflicts in a region. We wouldn't have liked to see conflict happening in this part of the United Kingdom has happened, you know, sadly across the water, Northern Ireland, for many years. So we can be praying for those things. And I'll just lead us in a time of prayer, and if you want to pray, and I'll finish in a few minutes. So let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it's good to share that indeed, as a God of hope, you're bringing hope to that region of the world. Pray for our workers, Lord. They, on the whole, will have freedom to worship quietly with others in the country of their choosing, the country you've led them to. But, Lord, they'll be under spiritual pressure, just like we all are, but even more so in a spiritually dark region such as that part of the world. But give them light in their hearts, Lord. Give them hope in you. Give them perseverance. Give them the courage of the Holy Spirit when necessary to stand firm. Thank you for the media work, Lord, how it has impacted people. And we just continue for wisdom for them as they seek to just reach out in a second language, reach out to people with many different cultural problems that we've got, people with similar problems to some extent as well, but give them wisdom on a day-to-day basis, even conversation-by-conversation basis, so that indeed they might know how to answer people who are coming and asking and searching and seeking. Thank you that we've seen that the kingdom of God is growing in that region, Lord, and may more churches be planted. And if that happens, Lord, it means because more folk have come to faith in Jesus. And indeed, the kingdom is growing in areas of the world that traditionally would have been dark to the gospel. And thank you, Lord, that we can pray for peace, Lord. We would want peace in our own area, in our own country, in our own northeast corner. And we can pray that for many of those lands that are not experiencing it. Whether it's some of the trouble spots in the Gulf at the moment, where it's ongoing situations in Syria, in the Middle East, in Iraq, their neighbour, as well as down in Yemen. We thank you for the level of relative peace along the North African coast. And we continue to pray that you, as a God of justice and mercy, might be merciful to those often very impoverished people. As we continue our time of prayer now, Lord, may we seek to dwell in your presence. Amen.
We thank the Lord for the individuals that Steve has mentioned as he's spoken through some of these stories. Kind of hard to get your head around.
Thank you, Lord, for the relative peace we've got in our own land here, the freedom to worship, the freedom to live as Christians, Lord. And I pray, Lord, we wouldn't be overwhelmed by tonight. We would be encouraged to see that you're at work and to increase our faith, Lord. I pray tonight might have increased our faith to believe it even more so than before, that you can work in our northeast corner as well. Thank you for evidences of that, Lord. Thank you for the fact you brought us to the Lord in the past. Each of us wasn't born Christians, Lord. We weren't born knowing you. Our nature was sinful. And thank you, you've brought us to the Saviour. And you can do that to those round about us. Lord, if you lead people here, Lord, people would be willing to, you know, be involved in the work of AWM in a way that you lead. Thank you for Andrew Young and his invite to me every year. And pray, Lord, for Robbie and his family on holiday. And Lord, as we conclude our worship now, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share something of the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a closing item for worship?
Thank you very much, Steve. And that's been really enlightening. Again, you come every year, but it's like still a surprise to hear things that we already ken, but when they're reinforced again, they become so much more real. So do speak to Steve after the service, and he's got some materials and across there as well. So thank you, Steve, for coming. And let's continue to pray for our persecuted brethren in Arab lands and right across the world, really. As you say, Steve, persecution's nae here yet, but it's nae that far away as we can see in our own country. But let's stand and sing our final hymn, "There is a Redeemer," and then we'll close in prayer. Please be seated as we close in prayer. And Steve, I'm sure you'll go to the door just after the benediction just to shake hands with folk and to speak to folk as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this short hour together in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Steve and what he's presented to us tonight, and we pray for the Arab regions, Lord, and not just the regions themselves, but displaced Arabs who are in various countries across Europe and across the world. And Lord, we pray, Father, for grace to be upon them, Lord, your grace. And that because you're the God of multiplication, we realize, Lord, that the good news is to be spread, it's to be witnessed, it's to be received. And we pray that your love, your grace, your fellowship would be very much in evidence, Lord, amongst the Arab peoples. And Lord, we pray for your hand to be upon them. And Lord, bless Steve and the work that he is engaged in. We thank you for this new building where they're meeting in Portsoy as well. And bless your witness, Lord, and that community as well, and the communities up and down this corner of this country. So, Lord, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.